small Christmas program that has been postponed till next Sunday. Pray that we keep everybody from being sick for a week. So the girls, the group of girls had come to me pretty much in the summer. And like, we want to do a Christmas play. I'm like, okay, good, you should do that. So they've put some of this together themselves, so it's going to be cute. So forward to that. Turn with me to Psalms 34. In this very unique season we're in our country, our nation, the church, we have Brock and Mr. Brock and Dr. Melissa with us this morning. Amen. Amen. You guys still are down at Northgate, church-wise? Yeah, so they're at Ron Wilson's church, and Chris Stevens down there, so that was really neat. They made that connection, so it's good. It's always neat to know that you guys connected up down there, and so, yeah. Ron called Ashley for her birthday this week and said, he says, all I do is kiss babies and da-da-da. You know, I don't do anything important. I just, you know, that's Ron, you know, but such a big part that he does. He's so good. He's so good at that, connecting people. He's the person of connections, so we'll have to get him back up here for a while. So, yeah, pretty soon we'll do that. Psalms 34. I feel anyways in this season, it's really important to stay personally strong and encouraged. And it is a battle. It's not easy. Stuff's happening and stuff in the world, and it's hard to stay in that encouraged place. And life just comes, you know? And so we all know that. I just felt to take time this morning to look at Psalms 34, to go through Psalms 34. There's some unique things here, but this is that I've been talking about the courts of heaven and taking and presenting things to the Lord and coming, presenting your case and making sure the enemy has no grounds on you or nothing that he can dig up to hold against you, so that God, as we continually repent for what's in our life, as we continue to humble ourselves and apply what Jesus told us to do, the enemy has no grounds on us. He has no case against us. But boy, he's looking for one all the time to bring a case against you. And so it's just like a nudge. Keep your stuff up to date with the Lord. Don't let bitterness settle in your heart. Don't let unforgiveness settle in and stay. Just stay very active about pulling those things down. And I was sharing with somebody on the phone this week that we need to make this choice to trust in the Lord and to keep him good. And I think it's 2 Timothy 1:12, 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, one or the other. But it says, as we, you know, I commit, well, he keeps what I commit to him. So my role, my part, I always like to find the my part and his part scriptures. I for whatever reason, I take confidence in that. When I see what I'm to do, which is to believe or to trust or to commit, when I commit things to him, he then keeps those things and works those things out. He keeps them, he takes them, he absorbs them. And so when I pray for things and when I pray with people, I find I often go back to that principle. Let's commit this to the Lord. I don't have answers. It doesn't look like, I don't know. I can't, I don't know how it's going to turn out. You don't know how it's going to turn out. But if we will commit it to the Lord, we can take confidence that he will keep it. He'll keep it and he will bring it to pass. He will take care of it. He'll absorb it into himself. So very, very important for a thing. And so here is Psalms 34, and there's this instruction. It just breaks out in the first verse. I'll be reading out of the Passion. Lord, I'm bursting with joy over what you've done for me. My lips are full of perpetual praise. Or what's the wording in the New King James and your version? Continual praise. Okay, you know, continual praise. It is a form a habit of praise, and do not be negligent about that. Perpetual, continual praise. So let there be an uttering, and life will shut that light out. So you have to keep flicking it back on. You have to keep this going. And praise will bring you into, it'll lift you up. It'll bring you into a better place. When anxiety is overtaking you, the cares of this life, the preoccupation of figuring it out, when you're stuck, when you're in that thing, that praise breaks that, and sitting, reading, just a sitting with the Lord, but you can always be praising and giving thanks, and it changes you. I'm boasting of you and all your work, so let all who are discouraged take heart. So when I boast about the Lord and talk about what he's done, it affects the people around me. Is that not true? It's so important. So keep that going. Keep that utterance going. The more we can keep that from being shut off, the better. You'll affect the whole culture, the whole atmosphere around you. Be a person of praise and talking about what the Lord has done. And it will change things and change people. Join me, everyone. Let's praise the Lord together. Let's make him famous. That's a great plan. Let's make the Lord famous. Let's be clear about what he's done. And let's work through our stuff. So even if that's all where you at, you are just in a focal point of working out your stuff, then understand that there's a vision, there's a greater vision than just getting your prayer answered, that it gives you a testimony, it gives you a storyline that you can then share. People love stories. People love your story. Tell your story. Tell how you got here. Tell why you think what you think and believe what you believe. If you don't have a story, get yourself a good story. And you get a good story when you walk through the valley and you come out on the other side. When you walk through that and you have I was there once and the Lord rescued me. He got me through that. It was hard, but I have a story that he took me through. I was not abandoned. I was not left. Let's make his name glorious to all. And I've talked about this before. It's a return to this. This really is big. It's always such a good thing to do. Listen to my testimony. I cried to God in my distress, and he answered me, freed me from all my fears. Cha-ching. Don't let your story be, I cried to the Lord, and he didn't answer me. Don't let that be your story. I cried to the Lord, and I'm still crying to the Lord. Like, how long has it been? Like, don't get stuck there. Press through. I do trust and believe that every person that presses through, do not go at it half-hearted. Illustration of karate. You know, I'm such a great karate sports kind of guy. Anyways, athletic, all that. Yeah, not. But I remember so clearly, again, I've shared this story, but I just perked to tell it again, because when we go after things in the Lord, you've got to go after it like you're going to get through or you'll hurt yourself. And in when I was a little boy, we farmed, and there was just a man on a farm, one of the owners, and he was taking karate, and he brings me in, you know, an older, not older man, but you know, older than me, and you know, loving to show a little boy something. He's like, "Here, hold this board," and I hold this board. He's going to break this board. I mean, if my parents would have known this was going on, I'd have probably been in trouble. But anyways, you know, hold this board. He knew I wasn't holding it strong enough. I wasn't holding it hard enough. And so he pushed me and knocked me across the, you know, a lot the room that we were in. Like, I went boom, boom, boom. You know, it's like, you're like, get serious about this. Like, you've got to hold this or you're going to get hurt. Like, and then I'm like, boom, you know, then, you know, eyes wide open. I'm holding that board with all of my whatever. I'm braced. And he, bam, does those one of those karate punches and broke the board. I'm like, wow, impressive. Going after the Lord is like that. Get serious. Get a grip on it. Go after it. Hit heaven like that. Hit it hard. Hit it fast. And believe you're going to get through it. And you will. You can break a cement block. You can karate guys. They can do all kinds of crazy things. But they've got to come to this place where they see through the object. True. And we need to apply the same thing. When as Christians, we go at things haphazard, we pray a wimpy prayer and don't get an answer, and then our story is, you know, have you prayed about this? Yeah, I prayed, but I didn't get an answer. Like, that's not a good story. I don't want that to be my story. I don't even want to talk like that. Let it be when someone says, did you pray about it? Did you give it to the Lord? Oh, yeah, did I ever? I built an altar. I got serious. I'm like, God, I need an answer here. I need a breakthrough here. For your name's sake, I need to get through this. I need to have a different story than the one that's building right now, where I'm a loser, I'm depressed, and things keep going bad. I need a breakthrough. I need a breakout. I need a new story. I need a new name. I need a new history. Gaze upon him in verse, I think we're in 5, join your life with his and joy will come. So, wow, what a picture. Join your life with the Lord's and joy will come. Your faces will glisten with glory. You'll never wear that shame face again. Oh, yeah. Wouldn't it be good if once and for all of us, even our teenagers, were done with the shame face? Like, we got rid of that thing. We all know what it looks like. When I had nothing, desperate and defeated, I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me, bringing his miracle deliverance when I needed it most. The angel of the Lord stooped down, and I love the wording in the Passion Translation. It's a little different in yours, but the angel of the Lord stooped down to listen as I prayed. This is an amazing picture. Angel of the Lord comes. He stoops down and looks at what you're doing. Like an adult, if a child's playing or doing something, and as an adult, you come along and you look down. You get down on, sometimes we get down on our knees, we crouch down, get on their level, and like, what do we do? We say, what are you doing? What are you building there? What are you playing with? What are you, you know? And the picture of an angel coming alongside, the angel of the Lord coming alongside, looking at what you're doing. His presence is there. He's asking you what to do. When an adult does that with a child, they're like, because if you need help, I can help you. This goes, here, let me move that piece. See how this fits here? He came down, he stooped down and listened as I prayed, encircling me, empowering me, showing me how to escape. He will do this for everyone who fears God. I want to reference an interesting story. In 2 Kings chapter, let me find it here. I have it marked. And it's a story about Elijah. And the king of Syria in this is 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8, if you want to turn there. But the king of Syria is waging war against Israel. And he's got a problem. His problem is that The kings of Israel, they always find out what he's up to and they avoid his traps. And he has this cry to his people, we have a leak. Somebody's telling our stuff. And this goes down through, says, my camp will be in such. In verse 9, the man of God sent to the king of Israel saying, beware that you do not pass this place. So this is the man of God that's warning them, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. He called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Who's leaking? Who's telling? We have an insider here that's telling all of our stuff. And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you spoke in your bedroom. Here we are with the prophets again. The prophet's telling him. It's not one of us. It's that man of God. So he said, go and see where he is that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dotham. I'll tell you where he's at. He's right here. He's in Dotham. Dotham City. Okay. Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? They're here for you. They're here for us. So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. So Elijah could see something that the servant could not see. Yeah? And he looks out. He sees this whole army parked outside the house, the place where they were. And they were there to arrest them. They were there to get them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw and beheld the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And then the byline was, there's more that are for us than that are against. There's more of us than there are them. There's more that are for us than of all this. What you looked out and saw, there's more for us. There's more for us. And then the rest of the story is interesting. So here is where you see the Lord is with you. Often you cannot see how much he is with you. He's surrounding you. He may be there and you're praying and you're just not aware of it, that he has come. He is surrounding you. The story goes on, the oddest story, where Elijah, you know, they ask where something is. The Syrians came down to him. Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. So, blind. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Talk about power and prayer. Like, wow. Now Elisha said to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. Like, wink, wink. Here, follow me. This is like high adventure. They follow him. He takes them to Samaria. And when they get there, The young men are like, should we kill them? Our enemy just showed up. Let's kill them. And he says, no, give them food and give them water. Like, bless them. And because he had mercy on them, they never had trouble again from this group of guys. Interesting, huh? Like, gotcha. Totally gotcha. And now we're going to be merciful. We're going to give you food and give you water. The moral of the story is, you know what? We're just going to leave those guys alone. We need to have the same mentality. We need to come to the same revelation. The Lord is with us. And that His supernatural power is all about us and around us. It's a matter of believing that He will deliver us out of the hand of whatever enemy. That He will deliver us, that He will keep us, and even show mercy. The Lord surrounds you. Drink deeply in verse 8 of the pleasures of this God. Experience for yourself the joyous mercies He gives to all who turn to hide themselves in Him. Worship in awe and wonder, all you who have been made holy. For all who fear Him will feast with plenty. Even the strong and the wealthy grow weak and hungry, but those who passionately pursue the Lord will never lack any good thing. Come, children of God, and listen to me. I'll share the lesson I've learned of fearing the Lord. Do you want to live a long, good life, enjoying the beauty that fills each day? Then never speak a lie or allow wicked words to come from your mouth. Keep turning your back on every sin and make peace your life motto. Practice being at peace with everyone. The Lord sees all we do. He watches over His friends day and night. His godly ones receive the answers they seek whenever they cry out to Him. The Lord has made up His mind to oppose evildoers. So you, on your part, seek peace with people. You're allowed to do that. You're not going to lose. The Lord, on His part, will make sure that evil, He will bring vengeance. He will make sure that they pay for what they do. The Lord has made up His mind to oppose evildoers and to wipe out even the memory of them. We, there's a group of us, and especially people I talk to, we keep going here. We say, stay blameless. Whatever you're in, stay blameless. If you stay blameless, you'll have God's favor. It's difficult, challenging to navigate through different things, relational things and ethical things and things at work and things at play and things at church. Like there are always things to deal with and work through. And we turn often to each other for counsel and wisdom. And what do I do about this? And this happened and that happened. And how do I deal with this? Stay blameless. Seek peace. Don't take vengeance. Don't be vindictive. Stay blameless. Stay in a good place. The Lord will take care of things. Stay in a good place with Him, so that you walk with His favor. If you have the Lord's favor, He will open doors that no man can shut. He will make ways where there is no way. He will deliver you. He'll deliver you as you sleep, as you rest. But the Lord has made up His mind to oppose evildoers, wipe out the memory of them from the face of the earth. Yet when holy lovers of God cry out to Him with all their hearts, the Lord will hear them and come to rescue them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to all whose hearts are crushed by pain, and He is always ready to restore the repentant one. Even when bad things happen to the good and godly ones, the Lord will save them and not let them be defeated by what they face. God will be your bodyguard to protect you. I'm in verse 20 now. When trouble is near, no one bone will be broken, but the wicked commit slow suicide, for they hate and persecute the lovers of God. Make no mistake about it. God will hold them guilty and punish them. They will pay the penalty. But the Lord has paid for the freedom of His servants, and He will freely pardon those who love Him. He will declare them free and innocent when they turn to hide themselves in Him. What a chapter full of promise. And when you believe and know that the Lord will vindicate and He will bring punishment and He will take care of the wicked and evil, then you can be at peace. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to be frustrated. Keep your peace, stay blameless, and watch in time. Watch and see what has happened. I have stories about this I can't tell. But he does vindicate us when we stay blameless to the max. Like I said, I just don't want it recorded. Things that we have witnessed, I've witnessed happening when I stay in a good place and let the Lord fight my battles. When I stay in a good place and I'm faithful. And in the middle of it, it's really hard to feel good about it because it feels so conflicting and difficult. And the decisions you make and you feel all alone. And at the moment, in the moment of time, it seems like there's no one else with you. And Phyllis and I got to just meet with an old acquaintance that we met at a very strategic time, a family that we met that came into our life by this really unique sovereign way. And it was at the time when our church was in a transition in like 83, 84. And we kind of launched off on their own. It was that season when I was growing the church from what it had been when I took over to down to 17 people. Yeah, grew down that season. That season when everything's like, oh boy, this is not going good. That season. And in that time, though I was looking for things and I was looking for leadership and I was looking for friendship among leaders, and there was I'll call it a humble man, Sanford Knisely, comes into our life, and of all the other leaders that I met through him, he was the one that just had the counsel and the word at the right time to encourage me. And in the end, I got more from him than I did from whoever else, whatever else. And they came and we reconnected through Jesse just, you know, doing things at school with their son. And the names popped up, you know. And we made this connection. Phyllis was talking to Jesse and da-da-da and this and that. And it's like, what did you just say? And they made that connection. They reached out to us anyways and came, and we had lunch this week. And wow, it had been years and years and years since we had seen them. And we recouped and recapped. And I was able to say to him, so Sanford, of all the things, he was just a guy that worked on the oil wells at the time. That was his job. Like, he wasn't even officially in ministry, though he was wise in ministry and in church leadership. He didn't have a position, but he was the one that just had good advice for me and that was just at this level. And I said, Sanford, of all the things and people, especially in that season, you were the one that just, yeah, that I was enriched by just your relationship and your counsel. We always look, so often we're looking for the grand, the great, the deliverance, the thing that's just right. Don't miss the humble thing the Lord sends and puts in your path. Don't miss the simple way. Don't miss the common friend that's right beside you that actually has wisdom. Don't miss the intervention the Lord's providing right in front of your face. And if you're looking for something different, you can miss what the Lord has sent. Can you appreciate that? That it's easy to miss sometimes what the Lord, the actual direction, the help, the help that he gives you. And you don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss that. You want to listen. You want to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And often I look back at through all the scenarios and different things, and I'll realize what the Lord placed. And sometimes I got it, and sometimes I missed it. Sometimes I didn't see what was right there. And I don't want to have those times. I want to have those times where I perceive and I see. And I was able to tell Sanford, I said, of all the things, and I went through a lot of difficult times through those seasons, really hard times. And I said, In the end, the church I have, I don't care the size. I said, what I have is precious. It's pure gold. Like, what I have is great. I said, I have things that a lot of those other people that didn't think I was doing it right don't have. I have. I'm rich. I have covenant people around me. I have a family with me. And I was relating to him what our leadership style is. And he went, how does that work? I said, learn to be a father. You father people, you have relationship, build covenant relationships. Heaven was always supposed to look like that. And he was remembering how they had fathers, and then fathers became structured leaders with titles and position, and they lost what they had. And when they needed it the most, they didn't have what they needed. And I'm like, it's simple. We're complicating it too much. This is heaven's relational government. Our Father in heaven. He loves being our Father and calls us into being fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, and relational, relating to people, and build the kingdom on relationship, and build it on covenant, build it on a story of how the Lord has delivered us and helped us, rather than a program and doing it right. And it always, you'll always come back to this. How do you fix your marriage? Get wisdom. Yeah, but what else? Get wisdom. Find what the Lord's saying for your marriage. Do that. How do I raise these kids? This one's perfect, and this one, not so much. What do I do? Get wisdom. You're the parent. Approach heaven and say, hey, you left me in charge of this, and I need help. Like, get aggressive. Ask for that and get wisdom. Wisdom changes everything. Getting opinions from other people will make it worse. Like, be careful. Even good pastor types. Like, at the end of the day, we're just doing the best we can, but you need to know for yourself at the end of the day how to deal with this, what decision to make. And the Lord, this is so beautifully lays out. I cried out to the Lord in my distress. Throw your phone away for a second. Stop searching and looking and cry out to the Lord. Bring that to him and just lay it, commit your way to the Lord. Let me close with that. So good. And let me make sure I have the right passage reference. 1 Corinthians, it's 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy. And it's okay. Yeah, 2 Timothy 1:12, or 1 verse 7 through. Let's make sure this is the right one. For God will never give you the spirit of fear, but that's I don't think that's right. I'm sorry. I was reading this out of. Yes, it is. It's 1:12. The confidence of my calling enables me to overcome every difficulty without shame, for I have an intimate revelation of this God, and my faith in him convinces me that he is more than able to keep all that I've placed in his hands safe and secure until the fullness of his appearing. He will keep. He keeps it. We're in a dilemma of losing things and losing ground we gained, but the Lord keeps these things when we commit them to him. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. This simple return to basics, return to the simple thing. Let your heart be encouraged. Practice praise. Practice giving thanks and make it a habit. And don't expect things to be better or for you to feel better till you get this in place, because it's out of praise, it's out of thanksgiving. You start a story, and when people bump into you, they're edified because you're full of good stories. You're full of how the Lord helped you. You came to this point and you, out of your distress, I need help. And the Lord will help you, and you'll have a story. Begin to tell your story, how he helped you, how he led you, how he directed you, how he opened up doors. That gives people hope, and it's the greatest gift that you can give them, the greatest thing you can give. Thank you, Father. We just bless you today. Just thank you for this season. I just ask you'll continue to keep us safe. Keep us connected. I ask that you bring us and keep us in health. Let our soul prosper. Let our souls prosper. I ask that you will give people peace at the point of controversy and conflict. Give us victory over the battles that we're fighting for. Give us wisdom, give us the keys in the areas where we need to unlock things. Give us keys in the areas where we need to lock things up and stop things. You've been faithful to us. We just make it our testimony, Lord. So good to tell our stories. How you led us, how you found us, how you delivered us, how you made us a people. We ask that you continue to watch over our nation. Ultimately, I trust that you are in control. I thank you for your prophets, the prophetic words. So we just simply trust you, cry out, contend, Lord Jesus, for all that you said would happen. For your name's sake, our nation was founded for the purpose, our initial mission and purpose was to spread your word and to spread the kingdom. For the kingdom, this country was established. So fulfill your purpose, make a testimony of yourself, deliver us, Father, as all the prophetic words have indicated, that you indeed will, from your visitation of George Washington, to all of the prophets that surround us that are giving good words. Thank you for the hope. Thank you for the words. We just say yes to those things and embrace them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.